Welcome back. It's good. It's a good song. Works perfect right now. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We're broadcasting live from the DeBoer Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park. Game two tonight. Phillies, Padres, our old buddy Nick Pivette on the mound. And Bryce Harper, he'll likely be in the lineup again. Activated yesterday, but I don't even know what that was. He was activated, and he did not make me feel like he was healthy at all. And I got Hugh over here saying, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
He'll move runners.
He'll move them.
Yeah,
hey,
like a slap it in second base.
He's going to go out there and he's going to make it happen.
Yeah, so. You keep saying that, and I keep wondering what the heck we have here at Bryce Harper. Here's what I do know we have with the Phillies, a team with great starting pitching, an offense we can improve upon, but a bullpen that obviously needs some help here. And I saw yesterday Andrew Filippone, Hugh, he is a host out in Pittsburgh, 93.7 The Fan. He said he's heard maybe the Pirates are a team that has some bullpen guys the Phillies want. Also, we got to talk to him about this T.J. Watt situation because I have my eye on it, and maybe Howie Rosewood does as well. Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan out in Pittsburgh, with us right now. How you doing, Andrew?
Andrew.
Joe, what's up? Is this the Hugh Douglas that was on the Eagles team that got spanked by the Steelers 27-3 in 2004?
Yeah. Wait a minute.
It was.
When's the last time y'all won a playoff game, though?
2016.
Okay.
It's a while. Eagles have won two Super Bowls since then.
I mean, you come in throwing darts, man. I mean, jeez.
Well, I just wanted to make sure I was talking to the right people. That's all. That's what you're supposed to do.
It is the same Hugh Douglas.
Well, yes. To your point, yes. Yes, it was. We came in.
What happened that day?
I don't know. Hey, they who was that? Hines Ward ran a reverse, and it was off to
the
races.
Yeah, he scored two touchdowns. You guys were 7-0. You were feeling yourself. Got put in your place, et cetera.
No, but thanks a lot. I get the gist of what you're putting down.
What happened in the title game that January? You guys went home.
What happened in the Super Bowl the next year, Joe?
Well, you won. And then since then, it's been – one more since then, and then it's been a lot of nothing.
I mean, geez.
Hold on. Before we get into anything else.
I thought we were friendly rivals.
Are the Steelers still a real franchise? Or like what are they? I feel like I'm watching the Dream Team 2011 Eagles just collecting old guys all over the place. What's going on with that team?
Good comparison. A lot of people that are anti their offseason have brought that up. I really haven't yet, but I do like that one. They have champagne mediocrity is what I call it. They're 9-8, 10-7 every year. They get bludgeoned in the playoffs. It's wash, rinse, repeat. And that's what Mike Tomlin wants. Mike wants to always be competitive. He's never willing to look at the big picture, take a step back to take a step forward. It's like when Andy Reid had complete control of the Eagles before Howie Roseman started to do his thing, he calls all the shots. He brought Aaron Rodgers here. He brought Russell Wilson and Justin Fields here last year. He brought Matt Canada here, the worst offensive coordinator I've ever seen in my entire life. He drafted Kenny Pickett in the first round. He makes these moves. The national media is out to lunch on this. They think Tomlin just has to make a meal out of the crappy groceries he gets every year. Mm. Not true. It's his kingdom. He rules. He's the supreme leader. He's the emperor. And that's why the Steelers have been a mediocre team for a very long time.
You know, I'm kind of curious because Justin Fields was there. And he looked like he was a pretty decent quarterback. What happened with that situation? Why did they ultimately end up going with Russell Wilson in that situation?
Because they made a handshake deal with him when they signed him, Hugh. They said, you come here for the league minimum. We'll give you a shot to resuscitate and revive your career. Russell also had a very, very close relationship with the most prominent minority owner of the Steelers. So it went really beyond just what happens between the lines. And I think they couldn't go back on that promise. So they were 4-2. Fields had played a shaky game in Vegas, even though they won the week before. So they decided to make a change. It was unprecedented. Never in the history of the NFL had a quarterback been benched for performance reasons with a 4-2 record. Mm. And Tomlin said, I'm the Lone Ranger. And he was right. The offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, he wanted to stick with Justin Fields because he thought there was more there. Well, we saw Russell Wilson turn into a pumpkin at the end of the year. And Mike believes in his twisted mind that a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers can win a Super Bowl with him. He honestly believes that he can be a difference maker and be the guy that puts them over the top. I don't see it. I think he's nuts, but that's why they decided to not bring Justin Fields back.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, you guys have a lot to talk about. You got Aaron Rodgers out there.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah, that's going to give you a whole season there.
And we got Jalen Ramsey, too. He's not shy giving his opinion. This is insanity. We might trade T.J. Watt.
Well, that Now we're cooking with
yeah.
Now we're cooking with grease. All right, so let's talk through that one here. So I saw the report from Adam Schefter. You just mentioned the T.J. Watt thing. So let's unpack this because I have my eye on this from an Eagles perspective because as great as they were last year, they lost a lot on defense. They're very young there. And I think they could use another, you know, turbo boost to the pass rush. And T.J. Watt obviously could be that. So let's start with this. Do you think what are the chances T.J. Watt does get traded before the season starts?
Well, it's obviously on the board because the Steelers keep doing things that their old stuck-in-the-mud media members say they won't or can't do. Oh, they'll never trade for DK Metcalf. He's too expensive. Wrong. They won't trade George Pickens after the draft. They did. They won't bring in Aaron Rodgers. They won't trade Minkah Fitzpatrick for Jalen Ramsey. They're doing aggressive, bold things. I don't really think it's making them much better, but they're going for big splashes. They're taking big swings. So I don't rule it out now. The owner said he wants T.J. Watt to wear one helmet his entire career. The owner also said he wanted to bring Russell Wilson or Justin Fields back. So that statement actually doesn't carry much weight anymore. I think it's possible because I don't think Watt's happy with the idea that from what I've heard, the Steelers are treating the Myles Garrett contract almost like it's the Deshaun Watson of edge rusher contracts. Hey, they made a mistake. They screwed up. Just because they blew him away with money doesn't mean we have to do the same thing for you, TJ. Let's compare you more to the Max Crosbys of the world. And TJ's got to burr up his rear end. He thinks that he's better than Garrett. He's right, by the way. And so he thinks he should get paid more than him, which I respect and understand. So if the Steelers aren't willing to meet him on that, and it sounds like they're not, he's extremely unhappy, then I could see him forcing his way out, just like other guys have. George Pickens, most notably, in the last couple of months. They have a tendency now, when guys are unhappy here, to move on from them. So, yeah, I think T.J. Watt could possibly get traded.
All right, Andrew Filippone with us here, 93.7 The Fan out in Pittsburgh. All right, let's say it gets to that point, the way you just referenced, and maybe it gets to the point where they're going to move off him. What do you think would be a reasonable compensation? Obviously, there'd be a bidding war, so whatever you say could get bidded up because there's four or five teams in this. I think the Commanders in the Eagles division could be one of them. But let's play it out. Let's say 3 weeks from now, camp is starting, and they say, all right, we'll move him. What do you think the cost would be for a player of his caliber, but the age, the contract? Like, what do you think? Eagles have 13 picks in next year's draft, so they have a lot they could offer if it comes to this.
And the Steelers have tons of picks, too. You know, I really think about that now, Joe, completely differently after this player swap that they just did. You know, the Eagles once upon a time traded Kiko Alonso for Shady McCoy. The Steelers now just traded Minkah Fitzpatrick for Jalen Ramsey. I used to just live in a world where it's like, all right, maybe a first-round pick is all you get back. But maybe there would be players involved. Like, if the Eagles called up the Steelers and said, we want T.J. Watt, we'll trade you Nolan Smith in a late-round pick, I think they'd make that trade. I really do. If something like that were ever put on the table, I think they would get younger because they could also sell it as, well, we get a player like this. We're not punting on the season with a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers. I don't think that's very realistic or highly probable, but I think that would be the type of thing that would get Mike Tomlin's attention, especially if he thinks T.J. Watt doesn't want to play here and is too expensive and is 30 years old. So I don't know. I mean, I would think originally, hey, a first-round pick and then you go from there, but maybe they would want a player based on how things went with the Dolphins trade.
Yeah, that opens up a whole new way of making – I mean, because that's not typical in the NFL. We brought it up yesterday.
No, it's
not.
The
last one I can remember was the Clinton Portis and Champ Bailey one, like, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah,
we don't usually get star players who traded for star players. That's different.
Yeah, it is different. But Andrew, I'm kind of curious. You know, Coach Tomlin hasn't had a losing season in the NFL yet, but it feels like the fan base is really tired of him. Is this possibly his last season there in Pittsburgh?
No, because the owner has the exact opposite opinion of the fans, Hugh. And I actually think the way that the fans treat Tomlin causes him to dig in stronger and be more supportive of Mike.
Okay.
I said this to somebody the other day. I really think if you gave him truth serum and said, who's been the most important person in the franchise over the last 20 years, Mike Tomlin or Ben Roethlisberger, he would say Mike. He's obsessed with Mike. He loves Mike. He thinks that Mike sets the agenda for the entire franchise. He loves the way he handles himself. He loves the way that the team is always in it, that they have never gone worse than 8-8. They're always in the playoff mix, regardless of who the quarterback is. They're always in the hunt in December. Now they're getting killed in the playoffs, and that's a real dipping of the Steelers' standards. But he doesn't think Mike Tomlin's the problem at all. I mean, I think he's wrong about that. Mike's made some horrendous decisions in terms of quarterback selections and pickups and the way they philosophically have gone about things offensively. And by the way, the Steelers spend $179 million on defense. The Eagles spend $64 million. Who's getting better return on that investment? The Steelers outspend everybody. The Giants are the next closest team. They outspend the Giants by $30 million. And we were eighth in defense last year with a defensive-minded coach. So that's what really grinds my gears. Like, this team should right now have the best defense in the NFL, given the personnel and given who's coaching it. And they fall way short of that. They gave up 299 yards, for crying out loud, in the playoff game last year to Baltimore.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, they were non-competitive there. All right,
so they had the best defense. They spent the most money.
Yeah, now you get Hugh started. Yeah,
thanks a lot, Andrew.
Hugh's a former great defender who doesn't care about defense anymore. All right, let's end with this. You had a tweet yesterday saying stay tuned on the idea of the Phillies and Pirates, maybe a potential trade later this month. We could have two Pittsburgh-Philadelphia trades. Tell us about Bednar, who we've seen before and has been a good closer for a while, and Dennis Santana. What do the Pirates have in that bullpen, and do you think the Phillies and Pirates could match up and those two guys or one of them coming here?
Well, I think the Phillies want to match up. It's a matter of the Pirates wanting to do business here, and it's complicated because the Pirates have a GM who's hanging by a thread. He's in year six of a rebuild. They've never won more than 76 games with him at the helm, and the manager got fired at the end of May. So he's on thin ice. So that could go one of two ways. He either has to do something big to save his ass, or he doesn't really have the authority to do that because he's dead man walking. And that's why this is a really tricky situation. Now, Bednar is also from Pittsburgh, which makes it more difficult because fans, for the most part, like him, even though he's had his ups and downs. He got sent down for performance reasons, but I would easily argue that the manager who was here before, the current one, mismanaged the guy. He is perfect in save situations, and I believe he has not given up a run this year when the Pirates have a lead. So he went to Indy. He got it figured out. He's back here. He's been excellent ever since. And since Santana's one of these guys, they picked up off the scrap heap from the Yankees a year and a half ago, and he's been outstanding. The Pirates just had, I think, the lowest bullpen ERA in baseball for the month of June, better than anybody for a crappy team. They had the best bullpen, and these two guys were in charge of it, Bednar and Santana. And his ERA is in the one, Santana. But the thing he's most famous for right now, he's currently suspended because he tried to slap a Pirates fan in the face during a doubleheader.
I saw this. I didn't realize it was him.
Wait a minute. He slapped me.
I think Hugh wants him here in Philadelphia more now.
He jumped out of the bullpen to slap a man in the face because he was talking smack. That's a true story.
We need that kind of attitude in our bullpen. Get him here on the double.
Now, here's the thing I've also heard, Joe and Hugh. I think if the Pirates were allowed to make this trade, okay, the owner says, I'll give you the agency to go out and make a deal like this and trade these two guys. I think the player that they want is an outfielder named Justin Crawford. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah, oh yeah, of course,
I think they'd make that trade in a second. I think they send both guys, Bednar and Santana, for Crawford, and Crawford would be starting probably in left field for the Pirates that night. I think if that was ever put on the table for Charrington, he'd sprint to the owner's office and say, please, please, please let me make this trade. And I guess it just comes down to whether Dave Dombrowski wants a great eighth inning and ninth inning guy to get this team to the finish line this year.
Well, he might, because it's been a few years here where the Phillies have kind of danced around that kind of trade but not made the deadline. Listen, Andrew, we appreciate you hopping on. We'll be monitoring both of these, especially the Watt one. Interesting idea with the Nolan Smith thing. All right, we appreciate you hopping on, and enjoy the rest of your week, and happy July 4th. Thank you.
Yeah, have a good one.
Sorry to bring up bad memories, man. You're the best. See you boys later.
Oh, no,
later.
You did
Goodbye.
It on purpose. I respect that,
I did.
Though. That was,
you're right.
That was pretty cool.
See ya.
There he goes, Andrew Philippon. All right, there's a lot to unpack there. All right, 215-592-9494. So Andrew's a host in Pittsburgh, 93.7. We got to hit the T.J. Watt thing first, because he brought something to the table that we had not considered. because we've brought him up before, Hugh. We've discussed, like, the Watt. I mean, Garrett obviously re-signed in Pittsburgh. But we've discussed this kind of
thing. I thought it was kind of strong that he felt Watt was better than Garrett.
He's also a Steeler fan, so maybe he's kind of riding for his guy. So he brought up something there that I don't think we've really broached before, right? So because we've talked about Myles Garrett, that's off the table. We've talked about Trey Hendrickson. We know how you feel about Trey Hendrickson.
Yes.
Then luckily Kyle's not there. Buzz might be able to find the trade drop, but that's okay.
Yeah, I like how you set Buzz up. Yeah, he's going to find it.
Yeah, maybe if he finds it.
I triggered Buzz this morning, so he's probably out to get me.
Yeah, hopefully he is. But we know you like Trey Hendrickson, okay?
Yes.
But T.J. Watt, of all of them,
he's a difference maker. He's
and he
different.
Might be the most available because this yesterday, you would think on the day they traded for Jalen Ramsey, right, that they're going for it.
And yeah, it feels like that.
Yet they still can't figure out the contract with him, and this might end with T.J. Watt gone. So we've discussed before trading for a guy like T.J. Watt, and then you always say, well, what about the money, right? Long term, what about the money? But the idea he just threw out there was one of the most interesting things I've heard on this. What if it's Nolan Smith and a late-round pick? Because part of when we talk about this, what do we always say? They got to pay all these guys, right?
Yes.
Well, if Nolan Smith's not here, you don't have
then
to pay him.
Pay, but,
right, so it takes one guy that we think is going to get some good money down the line out of here. Now, I like Nolan Smith, and Hugh, I'm not championing to trade him for no reason. But that idea is interesting. Nolan Smith, who is, I say, promising and came on extremely fast at the end of the season, right?
Yes.
He was great in the playoffs. He had some of the best playoff numbers we've ever seen for
as a pass rusher.
Right,
yes.
He had a great postseason run. But he still has not done anything in terms of a full year of excellence, right? He's only been in the league 2 years. He hasn't had one of those years yet. T.J. Watt's on his way to the Hall of Fame. Like, he's put together 6 years of amazing football. Would you trade Nolan Smith and a late-round pick for T.J. Watt?
You make a compelling argument, Joe. And normally, when you say it like that and you present it like that, I would go with you with that. But it doesn't play into the defense as a luxury, not a necessity situation. And the reason why I say it like that is this. You're going to have a high-priced older player that, yeah, he has a Hall of Fame resume, no question about it.
Yeah, of course he does.
But Nolan has a tremendous upside, and as of right now, he's much cheaper. And something that Andrew jumped out to me that he said, they spent $179 million on the defensive side of the ball, and the Eagles only spent $65. And I know people don't want to hear this, but when I talk about defense as a luxury, not a necessity, that's exactly what I'm talking about. More bang for your buck. You're getting more bang for your buck with a lesser paid defense that was ranked higher than the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So I knew I was upset when he said that.
Yeah, because you knew I latched on to that. Yeah, yeah.
So I understand your thought on that. I just want to point out, though, Nolan Smith is only much cheaper for a short period of time.
For the short period of time.
Because he and Jalen Carter are eligible after this season for contract extensions. Now, he's not going to get as much as Watt, right?
Mm-mm.
Because he hasn't done this for as long. I don't know. If Watt wants 40 and Nolan has a good year, what is he going to get? 20? 20 a year?
Maybe.
Okay, so maybe it's half. But, like, he's. I just want to make sure, as we have this discussion, he's not going to be this cheap for much longer. Like,
no,
he's
not.
Nolan is one season away from his first contract
extension. But he's going to be cheaper than a T.J. Watt.
Well, yeah, you would think.
And here's the thing. Like, this is what I need people to understand when I say defensive luxury, not a necessity. As a defender, as a guy who played in an era where, you know, pass rushers were at a premium and they made a lot of money. They still make a lot of money because that's just how the league goes, but they're rotational players now. Now, when you talk about a guy like Jalen Carter, he's a generational talent in the sense that he plays mostly every snap, but all the guys around him, the other pieces around him, they're interchangeable. He's not. And that's why he's going to command the type of money he's going to command.
But what if we have two of them?
Well, that's the thing.
Because that's what Watt would be with
Well,
him.
That's the thing. Watt, you like what he brings to the table, but you don't know if he can consistently bring that every down. And I think that's why the Pittsburgh Steelers are really playing hardball with him.
So I thought last year he declined a little bit, if we're being fair. He still finished fourth in defensive player.
No, he is. But when you talk about that kind of money, and this is why Myles Garrett got more, because he's a little bit younger, and he's still in, like, the sweet spot. I get what you're saying, and you know how I like T.J. Watt, but when you talk about the financials and what has been brought to the table as far as how much they spent on defense and what T.J. Watt is going to command, you're better off with Nolan Smith, in my opinion. Might not be as productive, but as a collective in the group, still a really, really good defense.
Well, it can be, and a lot of people think it will be. But that would be very hard for me to turn down.
No, I mean, I get it. But then, you know, you got to think about that financial part of it.
So if it was – and if we were just operating off of the draft picks, then the idea of a lot of draft picks and the contract, I'm like, is that worth it? Nolan Smith – and I really like him. I mean, I threw out that thing a couple weeks ago where I tried to guess the top 11 a few years from now. Yeah. He was on mine. Like, I think he's going to be a really good player. I think the playoffs were the beginning of it for him. I'm a Nolan Smith guy. But T.J. Watt and Jalen Carter.
I get it.
I mean, you might as well just put us back in the Super Bowl. I mean, like, if the Eagles have those two guys and they're healthy in the secondary and Zach Bond does what he does last year, I think they'd be back in the Super Bowl.
I know you got to go real quick. Well, what if I told you Nolan Smith is probably going to be a better pass rusher than he was last year because he came on strong at the end of the year.
He did. But is he going to be T.J. Watt?
I think that's a lofty expectation.
Yeah, well,
but
of course
I think he would be – pretty damn good.
All right, Buzz, where do you come down on this? The idea there that was just thrown out by our guest, would you trade Nolan Smith in a late-round pick for T.J. Watt?
I think I would. I mean, we lost a pass rusher in Sweat. We lost one in Milton Williams. You go improve your defense, impact player. Listen, I like Nolan Smith, but you have a chance to go get T.J. Watt? Like, I'm not holding back because you're losing Nolan Smith.
And like, he's still... If I were to rank the pass rush of the NFL...
No, he's still one of the elite pass rushers.
I mean, he's
no
there.
Question.
And
no question.
As much as Nolan Smith was awesome in the postseason, we haven't seen it. You know, it's funny he brought up the Justin Crawford thing, which is interesting too. But it's almost like trading a prospect. Like, Nolan's more than a prospect. He's done it. But it's like a guy that came up in for the Phillies and played well for a half a season. Do you trade that guy for an established star? 215-592-9494. Your phone call's on the other side. Bryce Harper, we'll let you hear what he said yesterday if you missed it. Bryce Harper is back. Are you expecting him to be the Bryce we're used to? I'm not. I thought it was a very ominous return for Bryce Harper. Not the, like, wow, he's back, but more the, he's back, but it doesn't sound like he's ready to be back, or at least confident he's ready. Your expectation for Bryce Harper, are you expecting our typical Bryce that we get? And the trade that was just thrown out, the idea was thrown out. Andrew Filippone in Pittsburgh, he was on with us a few minutes ago. Would you trade Nolan Smith and a late-round pick to get T.J. Watt, who seems to be very available right now, and they have not figured out that contract, even though they're bringing in all these big names? 215-592-9494. I would do it, even though I really like Nolan Smith. Hugh would not, because, you know, defense, luxury, and all that kind of stuff. It is the Midday Show, live from the DeBoer Heart and Lungs Studio broadcast booth on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. We're live today. DeBoer Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth, Citizens Bank Park. We've got a Phillies Padres game tonight. Hugh, before that, we're playing video games. You ready for this?
Yes. Yeah, come on, man. I play video. I haven't actually played in a while because I've been on like real-time strategy computer games. But yeah, I'm ready for this.
So yeah, so we're doing the show here today because after the show, we're meeting up with the winners of our item in the Phillies Fantastic Auction. They won a chance to play video games on Fanavision with us. So we're doing that this afternoon.
Yeah, that's gonna
be pretty
awesome.
Meeting up with some of our listeners who won tickets to the game with us tonight. So we're here all day. We're locked in at Citizens Bank Park. Hopefully Bryce Harper's locked in and feeling good. If you missed it yesterday, well, we all saw that he was back and he played, right? He went 0-for-2. He walked. He got hit by a pitch. So the first night, performance-wise.
I hit by a pitch. That's terrible.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, it was a curveball. He was fine. It's not a great omen. I'll give you that.
It's like, damn, dog.
But here's the question now. Now that Bryce is back, are you expecting Bryce to be the Bryce Harper we're used to? And, Hugh, I think before he spoke yesterday, I would have said, yeah, look, he's back. As long as he feels right, I'm expecting an uptick and a big Bryce Harper second half. But then I heard him. Here's Bryce Harper yesterday as he returns to the lineup, and he doesn't sound like he's feeling himself. Here's Bryce.
I didn't think I was going to take any other steps forward of feeling better or anything like that. I thought we were kind of at a standstill of it feeling the same the last couple of days, and, you know, from BP to live and things like that kind of gave us the same result each day. So I thought today was a good one.
I didn't think I was going to get any better, so screw it, I'm back in the lineup.
Good as it gets.
Yeah, as good as it gets.
As good as it gets.
And that's not good enough. I mean, I just, I'm lowering my expectations. Like, I'm happy he's back, and you said it earlier, he brings something to the table that will help them even if he's not hitting the way we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for this team to go as far as we want it to go, they need him to hit at a high level, you know, especially down the stretch of the season, right? We're talking about September, October. That's when they need the best of Bryce Harper. And I have no idea what I'm getting out of him. All I know is this. He's not sounding to me like he's feeling great about where his wrist is. It almost feels like, hey, I guess. We might as well give it a try. And I said it last week when he was taking 75 swings in the cage. I was like, what are we wasting all those swings for? If you feel okay, maybe just come back. But I just didn't love the way he sounded, Hugh, yesterday. So I'm not expecting Bryce Harper to be Bryce. Are you?
Yes, I am. I'm expecting him to adjust to the situation that he's in. He's not 100%. That's obvious. That's obvious by the way he said it yesterday. But he's out there. And from what I'm recklessly speculating is that the trainers told him there's no more damage you can do to it. So you just have to figure out what is comfortable for you. So it's one of those things where I know you can't change your swing during the course of the season. I know that's hard to do. But he's going to have to adjust maybe his approach just a little bit so that he's comfortable enough to do some of the things that Bryce Harper used to do. I know you got mad when I said it, but
– don't say it. Go ahead, say it.
Maybe move some runners
over. Move runners. It's like you think it's funny.
I don't think it's funny.
Kevin Stocker moved runners.
I'm just being realistic.
Mariano Duncan moved runners.
Do you agree?
Placido Polanco was even better at moving runners.
Bryce Harper is in the lineup, man. The lineup is better.
Yes, but moving runners is usually what you associate with a guy that can't hit.
I know.
Or at least can't hit with force.
Right now, we want as much production as we can possibly get from Bryce. And if he is in a position where he gets on base and he's moving runners as he can, I'm okay with that right now. I understand exactly where you're coming from, Joe, and we need him to be the Bryce Harper of old, but I think it's going to take a little bit of time for him to get comfortable with that. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Moving runners. Like a slap hitting second baseman, moving runners. 215-592.
When you say slap hitter, that just sounds so bad.
Well, that's what those guys are. I mean, slap hitters move runners. They hit behind the runner. They're not hitting with force. Where do you come down on Bryce Harper and what you expect? Our Twitter question today, do you expect Bryce Harper to play at his typical level now that he's back? 57% no. And then if you missed it a few minutes ago, we had Andrew Filippone out from Pittsburgh on with us, and we asked about the T.J. Watt situation, which seems like it is really a few months ago, I would have said, they're going to figure it out, right?
Yeah, T.J. Watt's pay him, because he's iconic still.
Yes, but I don't know. I mean, when he mentioned that everything you would think the Steelers would do, they've done the opposite this offseason.
Yeah.
It does open up the idea that maybe they're changing the way they do business and they would trade him. And he threw out our guests an idea, you know, maybe a Nolan Smith and a late round pick for a T.J. Watt. I love Nolan Smith, but I would do that trade. I mean, T.J. Watt and Jalen Carter and Zach Bond.
I mean, it's enticing. It's definitely enticing, but no, I wouldn't do that.
Don't you think it gives him a better chance to win the Super Bowl this year?
What? T.J. Watt?
T.J. Watt.
I think Nolan Smith does.
Then T.J. Watt this year?
Yes.
But he's not better than him.
Because the reason why I feel that way is because Nolan Smith had one of the best playoff runs that you could have
without
as a young
question,
pass rusher.
But he hasn't done it in a season
and,
yet.
And he's been working on his game. I've seen video. He went to the pass rush summit. Shout out to Chris Long. A bunch of the other cats went out there. I think who else was out there? It was a couple guys. But he went to the pass rush summit, and they're trying to work on his pass rush and becoming a better pass rusher, which I think is pretty cool. That would have been something that if I'd have played in my era, I would have definitely won.
How many sacks would have added to the ledger?
I don't know, man. But to have – because who's out there running the summit? Robert Mathis. Robert Mathis, if you know anything about him, one of the smallest pass rushers to ever accumulate over 100 sacks.
He was a strip sack artist.
Yes,
he would
was.
Knock that ball out.
Rob,
yep.
And that's all. What did he went to? Alabama A&M? I think he went. Yeah, Alabama A&M. Shout out to the Aggies. He was a guy, like, he teaches. That's all he does. Teaches pass rush. That's all he does.
It's actually
man.
An interesting and, comp for because size wise,
yes,
Nolan is kind of small.
Because
like
Robert
was.
Is not like he is not a big pass rusher. He played in Indy, but boy, when he got off the ball,
yeah.
and he did the spin. Like, he was a technician.
Well, we saw in the playoffs last year. No, remember the sack Nolan had on Jordan Love where he came inside and then ran back around?
Yeah.
He's got some of that.
Robert has – he was coaching with the coach for a while. I think he's still coaching. Not sure exactly where he is. But, man, he was at that pass rush summit. Like I said, Chris Long and those guys were there. And they're just soaking up the techniques from old heads and young cats, and he's incorporating that into his game. So, yes, I think it's a little bit premature to try to compare him to what T.J. Watt has accomplished.
Well, yeah, of course.
But in this defense, he has a tremendous upside.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I look, if Nolan Smith is here for the next 10 years, I think he's going to be a tremendous Eagle. I loved when they took him. I loved the way he came on last year. But if they could get T.J. Watt, and the price is not multiple first-round picks, the price is Nolan Smith, who, by the way, you know, we've talked a lot this offseason about, hey, you got to pay all these guys. Well, they have to pay Nolan, too, after this season. Now, I don't know how much he's going to get paid. He's going to have to put together a really strong regular season to get a big payday. But he was a first-round pick. I think we kind of forget that because he was the second pick that year.
Yeah.
But they had two first-rounders, right? Like, obviously, Jalen Carter was the first-rounder. But Nolan, as a first-round pick, is eligible for an extension after this season. So he's not going to be chief for much longer. Let's go to Henry in Exton, who's up on WIP. Hey, Henry.
Henry.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Henry. What's up?
Good. Hey, thanks for taking my call. First-time caller. I listen to the show all the time.
Oh, you got it, Henry. We appreciate you. What are you thinking?
People that think with a little too much logic might think I'm crazy right now, but I'm with you. Nolan Smith, he's gonna ascend rapidly this year. And I know that because I played Madden in 2024, 2025.
Live your truth.
This is what you do, Hugh. You live in truth.
Led the team in tackles, went into 2026, was the MVP of the league. That's a stretch in real life, but he's going to take a huge step this year. I think it's a mistake to try to go out and try to find a guy to buy a championship. I think he's got chemistry with the rest of the team, and I think it'd be a mistake to go after Watt.
So the last thing you said is obvious. There's chemistry there. I mean, these guys play together. I love his personality. Like, I think he could almost be the next Brandon Graham in terms of personality, Henry. So I love the idea. There is one thing that I think we're leaving out of this conversation, though, and I'm not sure, obviously, it didn't happen on your Madden season. He's been banged up. I mean, if I have one worry about Nolan Smith, Hugh, he's had injury issues. His first year had a shoulder in training camp, and then that – or in the – preseason, right?
Yeah.
The last preseason game. And then we didn't hear from him much during the regular season. And then he tore his, what, triceps or biceps
in the Super Bowl.
So that affects his offseason.
A little bit of durability.
Right. If I have a concern, Henry, with him ascending to the level we hope he does, the durability. Yeah. Like, if you promise me he's fully healthy, I think he's going to be a 10-sack guy pretty soon, too.
I feel like I'd have a similar concern with Watt. But same concerns with both. But again, I'll leave you back to your show. Thanks for taking my call. Recently married this weekend, Brianna Holtz. Love you.
Congratulations.
How about that? That's a big week for Henry's first call to the midday show when he got married. What do you think is the bigger memory there?
Calling us.
Yeah, I would say too. Yeah. His first call to the midday show. I would agree with that.
Congratulations.
So this is, you realize you contribute to that, said there.
Are you talking about the Madden season?
Well, no, I love the call, and I appreciate the optimism for Nolan Smith's career, but you tell people to live their truth.
Live their truth, man. And if it makes sense to you, listen, this is the truth. And I Tuck and Mike are sitting right here beside. All you got to do is nod, because I know people can't see you.
Well, but they were kind of on you people earlier. They were on YouTube a little bit.
But what I'm saying is, like, as sports fans, we all have our unique takes on what we feel strongly about. And some of them are based in nonsense. I mean, let's be realistic. As sports fans, we need to embrace that. It might sound stupid to you, but it might be the gospel to somebody else. I mean, but that's the beauty of being fans and having these sports talks on a day-to-day basis.
Are you coming up with a new tagline for WIP? It might sound stupid to you, but it's gospel
but
for
it's
us.
Possible. Yeah. But isn't it, though? It might sound stupid to you, because how many times do we get, when we look on social media, that was a stupid take. But yet, you're still here. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
Like, yet, you talk about how stupid our takes are, but yet, you show up every day and you partake in our stupidity.
So is this you admitting Wheeler at 9 in your list of
stupid? No, I'm not admitting nothing.
I'm just wondering.
I'm not admitting nothing. All I'm saying is,
it sounded like a little bit of declaration of admitting.
No.
It sounded like you were coming clean.
No, I'm not coming clean. All I'm saying is, if you feel strongly about your – how many times have we sat on this station and in conversation and said, boy, you know, Elliot doubled down on what he said?
Every day.
Every single day. And we still allow Elliot to work here, and he has some of the
– Not just allow him. We invite him on the show all the time.
And not only is he allowed, he thrives in the situation that he's in. He's blown up so much that other people have taken his gimmick. The charting the plays thing.
Well, what I saw SportsCenter was talking about the Browns mini camp charting their quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. They have
win for Elliott.
Like, they have taken Elliott's shtick. So that's why I say believe if you believe it, and if you can argue about it, go for it. Believe your truth.
Yeah, see, this is how Zach Wheeler gets ranked as low as he didn't
Buddy, who just called – what's his name just called in with got married and said he had a great season on Madden?
Yep.
That was his truth.
Yeah.
Let him live that, man.
He can live it, but I'm trying to live in a little bit of reality. TJ Watt's going to the Hall of Fame.
As fans, we don't live in reality, man. Let's stop. Let's stop with that. Okay, let's come to grips with that. As fans,
but here's
we don't live in reality.
Here's deep down, deep down, if they trade for Watt, they're going to have to pay Watt, and that's a big L for defensive luxury, not a necessity.
No, it's not.
Of course, it is.
No, it's not. Like
if they spend $110 million on the pass rusher,
if they do, which they haven't done so far, that there might be some truth to that.
An L,
and that story will still be written.
Yeah.
But right now, the present formula that the Eagles have. It's to overpay on one side of the ball and muddle through on the defensive side.
Let me ask you this, because I saw a list yesterday of teams that could make sense for Watt. Mm-hmm. If you're Howie – now, I know you have your perspective on you wouldn't do it, right? You wouldn't trade Nolan in a late-round pick together.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Howie and you're on the phone and you're checking in with the Steelers, just seeing what the price is, and their GM says, Howie, this is what we have, and unless we get a deal that tops it, we're sending him to Washington. Does that change your perspective?
Mm-mm. It doesn't. I still had the best offensive line in the league. T.J. Watt is a monster.
Yeah.
No question. How many sacks did he get when he was here? When he came?
Well, wasn't he the one that broke Jalen's hand? Remember, he punched it out?
Was that this year? They've been playing him this year.
It was in December, yeah.
Jalen got his hand broke?
Yeah, don't you remember that he had the wrap on his hand for a few weeks?
I didn't know he broke it.
Yeah. Well, whatever it was. I mean, they might have not told us it was broken.
Okay,
but
I got you.
Yeah, he punched the ball out on her.
I still don't want him. I mean, for what this defense is.
How about if he's going to Detroit?
Still, nah.
See, you paused on that one.
Well, because I know what you're talking about, because you got Hayden Hutchinson over there.
And what?
Their defense was they were overachievers for the most part.
I'm just saying, like, if he ends up either staying in Pittsburgh or going to an AFC team, whatever, right? It doesn't really affect us. If he ends up on an NFC contender.
No, I hear what you're saying.
It makes it challenging.
I like what we could do against T.J. Watt schematically. Now, I forgot about the whole Jalen punching the ball out thing. I did forget about that. But I like what we can do schematically to stop that. Mm. You know, because, we still got Sashawn Barkley, and we still have the corner situation. You're talking about one aspect of the game. When you talk about the Commodores.
Yeah, it makes them better.
Getting that. But they're still – I think that they still lack in the secondary – where we can still have advantages.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not saying that it tips the scales totally.
I get what you're saying.
But it would close that gap, right?
Yeah,
they got Tunsil this off, and they were good last year anyway.
But you know what's funny? Even when you think about the Commodores and what they did, as bad as that defense was, what did they do? They went and upgraded their offense. They went and got an offensive lineman.
Here we go.
I told you so,
Douglas. I'm actually shocked they didn't add to the pass.
That's
rush.
What I'm saying.
Well, that's why I'm wondering if they're waiting for this or waiting for Hendrickson.
Maybe. But when you talk about – when I think about going into a war room as a GM of a football team or whatever, and I say, what do I need to improve on? The first thing that they said
offense.
Was we need to protect our quarterback.
They got Tunsil, and they drafted a tackle in the first round.
Yes.
Yeah,
That's why – now you're starting to see my vision.
No, I'm just relaying facts to the audience.
No, I'm just saying, now you see my vision.
Buzz, how much of this nonsense from Hugh is just because he doesn't want his take to be wrong on defense and offense?
I think a lot of it's based on that. He's double,
Buzz,
tripling.
You're batting 1,000 today.
Well, I'm just saying, when I hear nonsense, I got to call it out.
Yeah.
That ain't nonsense, Buzz. What have all this stuff? I got cliff notes. What did you not understand about these notes that I just dropped on you?
The cliff notes?
What are you not understanding?
This is what I hear every time you drop your cliff notes.
He said, I'm doubling down.
I mean, every single time. It's just, let me see if I can double, triple. Just because you had a bad take once doesn't mean you have to double down on a bad take and triple down on it.
Don't bring up the AI thing.
First of all, Buzz, it was a historic take.
Through AI said this.
It was historic take, and it is thriving and surviving. All this time for 3 years.
That's because we bring it up all the time.
No, because there's so many examples of what I said being true. Y'all just don't want to hear.
I so regret inviting Filippone on the show because he gave you ammo. It's like the Steelers spend a lot on defense and they don't win anything.
No, but the data is there for you. You just refuse to look at it.
Yeah. Well, here's also the data. The Eagles won last year because of their defense. Whether or not they spent a lot of money on it, they had a great defense.
I mean, you know, there's a couple Mustangs out there that outrun, like, you know, fast cars too. Yeah. I mean, because they're built better. More bang for your buck.
Just because you spend a lot on defense doesn't mean you actually have the best defense.
Buzz.
Well, that's true. Buzz making fair points.
Hey, Buzz ain't making no fair points.
Yeah, the best defense in the league won the Super Bowl.
Buzz is mad because I had Wheeler at 9. That's why Buzz, he's still feeling some kind of
way about that. We're offended. Offended is the word. I'm offended.
I'm living my truth.
Yeah. See, this is the problem. You just think you could willy-nilly put together a list.
I mean, but
put him at 9.
It's a valid list.
It's really invalid.
And I get ammo every day.
At least I respected earlier. Devin said she would consider moving him up.
I ain't moving nobody.
Yeah. Well, you have until 1:30.
I ain't leaving.
Yeah.
What was that? Leonardo DiCaprio, yeah. Wolf of Wall Street? Yeah, I ain't leaving. I'm not leaving.
Well, we have to at 2 o'clock. Those are the rules. All right, let's go to – let's grab Clifford in Springfield. He wants to talk about Bryce Harper. What's up, Clifford?
Guys, the fastest way to get yourself run out of this town as an athlete is to be a mopey, whiny diva. And that is exactly what I hear from Harper these last couple interviews. Pete Rose was always out there. Steve Carlton was always out there. Lenny Dykstra, always. Why is he missing so many games? At the end of the season, getting in the playoffs or not in the playoffs is coming down to maybe one game. We can't afford him. The doctor said his wrist was fine after he got his boo-boo from getting hit and it shut him down. The doc said he was fine. Now, do you hear a burning desire in his voice to be out there?
So that's not what I heard. What I heard, Clifford, is almost like he's letting us know he's not right. Now, is he doing that to kind of grease the skids if he doesn't perform well? So we under I don't know. I don't know where he's coming from, but I didn't hear a player who feels like he's right, and he wanted to make sure we knew that yesterday, Clifford.
His results are diminishing, by the way. I know there's a Bryce Harper cult out there. I don't want to pee off people too much. His returns are diminishing. World Series, loss. NLCS, loss. Division Series, loss. What are we getting for our $500 million? Here's what I want to do. I want to trade him. I want to trade him like a Herschel Walker deal and load me up with prospects, offload that $500 million, because it ain't working. See you guys.
Well, Clifford, we appreciate it. So we got our first trade Bryce Harper call of the week there.
That's strong.
Yep.
$330 million, by the way.
Yeah, 330, right. 500 would have been a worse investment. 330 has been a good investment, I would say, over the year so far.
I mean, I'm kind of stuck on the whiny part. I mean,
I didn't think of it as whiny. But
no, me neither.
I also didn't think of it as he felt upbeat. He didn't feel upbeat at all.
No, he didn't. I feel like people are – I mean. Bryce Harper's a hell of a player, and I think that Bryce Harper is a very, very prideful player. I think the hardest thing for Bryce right now is knowing that he isn't 100% and he doesn't know when he's going to feel like he's 100% and his team needs him. So that whole, you know, whatever you called him, whiny or whatever, that's not what I got from him.
Here's one thing I will say about yesterday. We saw this last year. We had a caller. I think it was OG Wade who compared him to Embiid earlier.
Yeah.
If you're back, I don't need you to tell me that you're not right yet. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you got to – you want to
– It almost feels excusey to me. Like, he knows he's not right. He knows he's probably not going to dominate the way we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
And he wants to let us know
– that he's not 100%.
And I don't need that. Like, if you're okay to play, then you got to play.
That's fair. I mean, because I've always been of the mindset – you know, when you walk out there on the field, you lose all excuses.
I respect that about Jalen Hurts. He's been banged up at different times in his career. 2 years ago, he had the knee, and he never wanted to talk about it. I'd rather you do that. Like, Hurts didn't play his best 2 years ago, and we knew there was a knee issue, but he didn't want it to be the reason that he – like, we talked about him not playing well. I respect that.
Yeah, and now when you present it like that, I see I see more what OG Way was talking about, like the Joel Embiid.
Well, Joel does that. Joel lets us know he's not right, so then when he doesn't play well, well, we're like, well, he's not right.
Boy, hell, about to freeze over. I'm agreeing with OG Way.
Well,
about
it's
something.
One of those days. Yeah. It is.
I mean, but it is – a little bit of air of that. Now that you think about it, it is like, hey, not 100%, but I'm out here. Yeah, you got to work through this. And it sounds like that's what the Phillies basically are saying. You have to work through this because technically you're healthy.
Yeah, like I was joking earlier, but I want to be lied to. But I would have felt better yesterday. Is that I'm back? Let's go.
If he sounded more positive.
Yeah, I'm back. Let's go. Yeah. You know, let's go. I'm ready to roll. Like that's it. And then we go play baseball. But instead, he made sure we knew he's still not right. 215-592-94.
This might turn quickly.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
This might get.
Well, they better win, and he better hit, and then that always solves everything. Are you feeling on Bryce Harper? And are you expecting Bryce to be the Bryce Harper we're used to? We got some Sixers moves in free agency. But them not keeping people. We'll hit that. And yesterday, Spike Eskin threw out an idea on the afternoon show about the Phillies and how they get better at the trade deadline. At first, I was like, you just can't. And then the more I thought about it, it was an interesting idea. We'll throw it out there next. And TJ Watt, we had a guest from Pittsburgh earlier. He threw out the idea, Nolan Smith and a late-round pick for TJ Watt. Would you do it? It's the Midday Show live from Citizens Bank Park, Sports Radio 94 WIP.